Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome and wonderful episode of Larry's Biblecast. How you guys doing today? Hopefully, you are having a wonderful week this week. So, before I get started, let me remind some of you all that this week, as we are recording, or this recording may come out, this is the last week, full week before Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. So please stay tuned to some additional mini podcasts that will be exclusively to Spotify. We'll be doing a lead up to Resurrection Sunday. I'll be reading some scriptures, some devotionals, probably a little bit of mix of everything, but this will only be on Spotify coming forward from Monday through Friday. And so we'll have some music and everything else to join in with that, some of the tracks that I picked for Resurrection Sunday. So Resurrection Sunday is a wonderful and phenomenal day of celebration of our risen Savior Jesus Christ, and also to commemorate the reason for the reason of this. And that means, you know, some of us are still practicing Lent. And I've been reading some passages out of a wonderful devotional called Making Space for What Matters. And these are a devotional that is also specifically for the time of Lent. So praise God for a lot of us that have been kind of taking that time to reflect on sacrificing something for the Lord in our lives. Amen. So with that being said, I'm just really looking forward to putting out those extra little episodes. So again, if you're a Spotify customer, please go check them out and enjoy some of those that I'll be reading in preparation for Resurrection Sunday. So today, in this episode, we will be going into Romans chapter 13, respect for authority, as well as the other topic will be love fulfills God's requirements. And that's in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. So pretty short chapter this week. And so hopefully you're prepared. Read along perhaps. And just as we read, we'll be getting into what respect for authority means, and so much that we can get from God's word. And understand that God, you know, through his word, he talks about a little bit about everything. And so I'm just really thankful for the word of God. I'm also thankful for God using just the Apostle Paul, or, you know, the Apostle Paul as he talked and gave these letters to people. And so here we are over 2,000 years later, we're still reading and getting some of these wonderful truths from what he says and shares about what God, how God feels, you know, how we are to honor the people that are in authority in our lives here, right here on earth, right? So anyways, other than that, I hope that everybody's having a wonderful week. I'm thankful and glad that you all have tuned in to this awesome podcast. And so again, just continue to pray for this podcast, continue to subscribe and share. I just, like I said, I'm very thankful and very grateful that God has allowed me the opportunity to be able to read God's word with you all and share, and whatever you get from this podcast, whether it's just simple encouragement or relaxation or what have you. Also, there's a mini devotional for, again, like I said, from Making Space for What Matters Most. So again, just hopefully you enjoy that as well. So again, thank you, and sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. Hey, all right, everyone. So let's get right into today's Bible reading from the book of Romans. This is going to be out of Romans chapter 13. So I'm glad that you guys joined me today. And we're going to be reading about respect for authority. I think this is a very interesting passage of scripture or a interesting chapter. Again, as we've been reading along in the book of Romans, we are reading the writings actually of Paul, who for the most part has been talking with or talking to the people of his day, but the Jewish people, along with there has been some Gentiles. So I believe this was a letter that was given to the Church of Rome at that time, and I'm not sure exactly what year it was. I do know that this was after the death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're getting a very clear picture of one of the more notable people of that day, who was at first a persecutor of the Christian faith. He was a very educated Jewish, I would say Jewish teacher, scholar, if you want to call it. Was one of his titles. He was actually named Saul, and he was one who hated those who followed Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in the beginning, he set out to actually kill and get rid of as many individuals that he could that was speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, until he had an encounter with the risen, resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ after he had resurrected from the grave and resurrected and also ascended to heaven. And so eventually he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, who had changed his life, obviously, and changed his name to Paul. And so now he has made it his mission to spread the gospel, but also been an apostle to the Gentile nations as well. And so basically he just really was used by the Lord, but he availed himself to be used by the Lord now. And not only has he wrote the book of Romans, but he also wrote not the book of Romans, but the letters to the Roman church, but also letters to the Corinthian church as well, Church of Galatia, the Church of Philippi, and a few other ones that I can remember, that his letters has really been just a phenomenal addition into the Bible, as we read, and also has become a part of the entire reading of the New Testament. So we can go back and we can definitely understand and see how and why God has anointed him to such a wonderful way. So anyway, let's get into this. This is chapter 13, and it's called Respect for Authority. In verse 1, it says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Okay, that's very important. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in position of authority have been placed there by God. Okay, very important. We're gonna really get into this today. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Okay, for verse 3, authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? That's the question. Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing what is wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Okay, so this is a very good, he starts in about authority. First thing we think about when it comes to authority, we can say the police, which is the law enforcers of our communities, of our cities, that we stay in, our neighborhoods. We also need to think about, when it say authorities, it could be the governing authorities, meaning like the Justice Department, the courts, the judicial system that we have to try to keep order and law. It could be the Congress. It could be political authorities as well. It could be all the way up from the governor, the mayor, the governor of your city or your state, your state legislator, your senators, your representatives. It could be that according to your cities and stuff, and also in your states, your counties. But then it can go all the way up to the federal, which will include the federal government agencies, whether it be all the way up to Congress and all the way up to the President of the United States. So I know this is going to be a kind of an interesting topic, but we have to understand this. According to the Bible, I think the one verse that is really sticks out, it says, "For all authority," this is in verse 1 of chapter 13, "For all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God." Now, of course, you know, we can debate this in a lot of ways, because let's be clear, those that are operating in authority are operating under the authority of God. They are also under the authority of God as well. That means that the law that they're supposed to be upholding, the law that they're supposed to be enforcing, in the case of the police or what have you, the law enforcement, they are also under that same authority. They are not above the law. So therefore, that this means that the law itself that they are supposed to uphold, that they're supposed to be enforcing, they too are also under the same type of requirement that they should be also under that authority. They should not abuse authority. They should not be abusing those things. So the cool thing about this, and the thing that we must remember, is the fact that, yes, if we're obeying the authority and we're doing what we're supposed to do, then we should not be, like they said, we should not be fearful of the authorities, especially if we're doing what is right, we're obeying the law. There's no reason why, if we're driving down the street and say, for instance, we are, I don't know, driving over the speed limit, maybe we're running a red light, maybe we are doing things with our vehicles that we shouldn't be doing. You know, we shouldn't have to be worried about looking over our shoulder if we're disobeying the law. If we're disobeying the law, we should be afraid. We should be fearful. I'm sorry, maybe I said that wrong. But we should be very fearful if we get caught. If you are in a store and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to steal something out the store, take something that you didn't pay for, of course you should be fearful whether or not you're going to get caught. That's that. Not only should we be fearful of the authority, but we also should be fearful of God, because God sees everything we do. God sees everything we do. Okay. So I just wanted to, you know, I'm just glad that Paul has written this here, because this is also can be applied for today. Also, we have to understand that we have to respect the authority. We have to respect the authority. We have to pray for our leaders. We have to pray for even our political leaders, that even though we don't like some of them, we may disagree with some of them, we may not like their policies or like their behavior, you know, we must still keep them in our prayers. Right now, under the leadership, or under the presidential leadership we have President Joe Biden, and a lot of people, I understand that whether or not what political affiliation you affiliate yourself with, whether you are considered Republican or whether you're considered Democrat, it doesn't matter when it comes to God. With God, God is not a Republican. God is also not a Democrat. Jesus is not a Republican or a Democrat. Some may argue what his ways, you know, what he stood for, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it don't matter. The bottom line is, regardless of what you agree with this president or not, you should be praying for him. You should be praying for his leadership skills. You should be praying for his cabinet, praying that he gets the right advice, that he steers the country in the right direction. Even if you disagree, we're not in that seat of power. We're none of us can say, oh, we should do this, we should do that. We have the freedom in this country to voice our opinions, and we do quite a bit. A lot of times we see it on the internet, we see it online, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, however way you just, you know, people say a lot of disrespectful things about the man who is in authority. And because we don't like him, we don't like his decisions. And that's not up for us. We should be praying for him. And the same thing it should be for the next individual that God puts in office or allows to be put in office. And we can go back to the Old Testament. There were a lot of people of authority, kings at that time. There was no presidents, but there was kings that was ruling over the nation of Jerusalem or the nation of Israel or the Israelites. And they were, some of them were following God, some of them weren't. And guess what? God held them accountable. God held the ones that didn't follow him and didn't fear him. He held them accountable and he punished them. And so that's the same thing it would be for any president or any leader, whether it's a world leader, whether it's a world leader in another country or not. If they are abusing the people, if they are doing things that are very harmful and deadly and murder and all kind of ungodly things to the people, God is not sitting back, even though you may seem like he's not doing anything, but God is taking a record and accountability. Now, I'm going to say this one thing that just popped in my head about that. A lot of times we feel as though God is allowing evil people to get away with stuff. A lot of times we feel like, man, you know, it seemed like he just like turned his back and not letting it happen. And a lot of times, yes, I'm not going to say he's not, but we don't know what God is up to. And we don't know whether God is giving grace and mercy even to that individual. We have a lot of evil leaders and evil rulers and leaders that happen in this country. That's the same thing it is, whether it be police officers that sometimes they abuse their authority. And I've seen that as a person of color, as a black man, you know, there has been for the last few years of all types of things that has happened to black people in this country. Now, and I'm talking about with the situation with police officers. Am I saying that all police officers are bad or law enforcement is bad? I'm not going to tell you that they are, because their purpose is to enforce the law and to protect. Whenever we get in trouble, whenever we have an issue, who's the first person we call? We call the police. We should call the police. We should never take the law in our own hands. So guess what? They still have a place of respect in our communities. But with that being said, a lot of times we get situations at hand that police, they abuse the authority. They become judge and jury. They kill people sometimes, and sometimes they have overstepped their position of authority, and they have done things, unfortunately, that has led to the deaths of certain individuals. And I'm not talking about, you know, somebody that was running when they shouldn't have been, or maybe they were supposed to put their hands up and they pulled out something which caused them to get shot. I'm not protecting anything like that. If the police officer told you to stop or stop running or to lay down or to put your hands up or something like that, then by all means, you should respect the authority and don't resist. Don't resist. And that is I would say, as a person of color, as a black man, you know, I will definitely tell any one of y'all out there to make sure that if the police officer pulls you over, do not try to resist. Don't try to run. Don't try to argue. Just do what the police officer is asking you to do, and you will, hopefully you will live, because it's important. It's very important, because we don't know what that police officer is thinking. We don't know whether that police officer is also afraid. They're human beings. They're not robots. So they're also understanding and coming to your, maybe your vehicle, or maybe to your home, your apartment, wherever you lay, wherever you stay at. They don't know what the situation they're getting ready to encounter. They might be already on edge because they don't know. They're unsure of what's happening. I know there's training, and I know they are supposed to be trained to go into a situation like this. But at the same time, make it easier so that you can live and they won't have to feel like they have to shoot you or do something to you that will result in a death or something. Because at the end of the day, we all want to go home to our families. We all have, either we have children or we have a spouse or significant other. We might be a son of a mother, a son that has, we might be someone's son. So we have to make sure that we respect the authority that's over us, and we need to be praying for everyone. We need to pray for our police officers. And if you are a police officer that is listening to this, hopefully that I had not said anything that was considered disrespectful or whatnot. But I do want this to also fall in line with what the Bible is saying. And what the Bible is talking about respect for authority. As believers, as Christians, we should be the best citizens that God has. We should be the light. We should be the example for all people. And so as we follow the Lord, we should be model citizens as well. And we should be, we should be the least that has controversy and talking critical or bad about authority, because we have to understand that Jesus himself was in authority, but yet he did not lord himself over us. Real authority doesn't make demands, and they don't abuse people. They don't do that. So real authority rules with a good sense of attitude. So we're going to take a quick short break, and we'll be right back. So welcome back. So we're going to be reading, starting off, Romans 13, verse 6. And it says here in verse 6, it says, pay your taxes too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. So just a quick note on this. This is, again, it's self-explanatory. Pay your taxes. We live in states that are governed by taxes. Whatever state you're in the United States of America. I'm not sure how it is set up in other countries, but it's important that everybody that lives here, everybody that works here, we all pay our share fair of taxes. They go through programs. They help with programs that assist us in, as far as the working people and working class people, as well as those that are needing aid, welfare aid or what have you. So it's very important. And also, like he says, they also are serving God in what they do. So the government workers, they need to be paid. If you work for the state, I'm sure that some of you will understand this. Again, these are just things that I think Paul is writing to understand that we should be good stewards, but we should be good citizens. So while we're here, remember, living in this world is just a temporary place. But while we're here, we should be doing what is right. We should be submitting to the authorities. We should be praying for them and honoring them and what they do, and having much and much respect for them. But we also should be paying our fair share of taxes. It's only right to do. And they, and like the Bible says, give to everyone what you owe them. So in other words, don't go around knowing that you owe people money. You should be paying them back. You should not, you know, this is, see, believe it or not, and I'm just going to stop right here and mention this. You know, when you owe people money, and it could be creditors, it could be taxes, it could be just people that you know personally, maybe family members, God forbid if it's family members, but if you owe family members money, if you owe a friend money, you know, it's not a good witness if you're a Christian. If you're a believer, it's not a good witness. It's not a good testimony to someone that knows that you're a believer in the Lord, or that you are, you know, someone that's supposed to profess that you're a believer. And here you are, you're either breaking the law, okay, or you are stealing, or you're withholding tax information, or you're cheating on your taxes, or you are not paying people back what you owe them. It's just very point clear that, you know, as believers, we should be a good witness. We should be a good testimony to the world around us. And this is just one of the things, even though we wonder, why is Paul going from this to talking about respect for authority? Why is he talking about taxes? Why is he talking about obeying the government? Because these all have a lot to do with you being in the world. And as we're living in this world, we are supposed to be good examples and being good stewards over our money, our finances, and also being a good representation of the kingdom of God. How are you going to win someone over to Christ if they see that you are, you don't have integrity? You don't have integrity. You lack integrity. You know, how are you going to be a good witness? You first of all, they see you stealing. They see you withholding your taxes. Maybe they see you, you know, talking about the government or talking about the president or whatever. But then at the same time, you're going to ask them, you know, would you like to, you know, have a prayer and accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? It's kind of hypocritical, right? It's kind of hypocritical. It's kind of like, you know, how, you know, it's like living, you have two different personalities here. So you don't want to be that way. You don't want people questioning whether or not you are a real believer. Okay. You're supposed to be giving an example in everything we do. So like it says in verse 7, give to everyone that you owe them, pay your taxes and the government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. This is the, out of everything that he said, this here in this verse, give respect and honor to those who are in authority. So very important. Listen, I'll say this one last thing on this topic. The police officers or those that are in authority that we feel that we protest against, we have problems with. If you show them respect and honor, and even though sometimes maybe it doesn't always work out that way, do you know that your behavior may end up ministering to them as a testimony? You know what I'm saying? So as you are encountering someone of authority, you'll never know what your life living for Christ being, you know, Jesus submitted unto authority. So again, if Jesus can do this, if Jesus can submit to authority, submit himself from the throne of being the throne of God and come down as a human being and submit it even unto death, then how can, you know, we can do the same. We could do the same. Okay. And we are supposed to be his children. We're supposed to be his representatives. We're supposed to be his disciples for him. Right. So we have to do what our Heavenly Father has done. Remember, Jesus even went down and he washed his disciples' feet. Remember, he came down to serve. And that should be also something that all authority and leaders should be able to do. Whether you are the president, whether you are a state governor, whatever, you should be in the position to serve anyway. So if you're a good leader, then you lead by example. You lead by submission, by humility. And that way you will be showing those that are, that you are over, that you're not a tyrant. Okay. You're not too good. So again, that's for leaders, but for us, we should be always praying for them. We should be praying. Sometimes, a lot of times, I know it's hard to see someone doing what's wrong, and we want to criticize. We want to talk about them. We want to see retribution happen. We want to see them be put down or whatever it comes to our minds. But God is telling us to go beyond that and pray for them. Pray that their heart would change. Pray that the way they govern changes, right? That's what we should be doing. If anything, listen, I know we're living in a time, or this time of year, actually, that it is actually an election year. So understand, I'm sure some of you have already watched the news and seen all kind of things that's happening right now. And I, like you, have my own preferences of what I like to see in government. But I will have to understand this, just like some of you will. We have to be praying. We have to be praying for our nation. We have to be praying that God allows and gives us a great president that will do what's right for this country. So again, that's what we should be doing. I know I'm like some of you. I do have my gripes and complaints too, but at the same time, what matters and should matter most is that we be praying. So let's continue on here in chapter 13. Love fulfills God's requirements. Now listen to this. In verse 8, it says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law." Let's read that one more time. "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law." Verse 9, "For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. Love fulfills the requirements of God's law." Very important this one is, because again, this is a fulfillment of everything. So he really kind of brings it home. And remember, he's actually repeating what Jesus said when he was here. He told them that he's given a new law. And that is to love your neighbor as yourself, right? To basically love God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to love God, you're going to fulfill the requirements of this law. Again, all these other things that go underneath it, this is like the Mosaic law, or from the Torah. In other words, when he talks about this: don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, and don't covet. Those are all summed up. If you love your neighbor, you will naturally not do these things. Let's continue on here. Verse 11. "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Okay, and we're going to stop right here. We're going to take a quick short break, and we're going to continue with this new direction of what Paul is talking about. And we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. So this is your guy, Larry, and hopefully you are enjoying this episode of the reading of the book of Romans. We're going to take a quick short break in between segments here, and I want to do the devotional that I've been reading. And this is a pretty good devotional out of the YouVersion Bible app. It's entitled Make Space for What Matters. So Today's devotional is entitled Stillness. And some of us may be able to identify with stillness. It's one of the things that I would say in our devotional time or in your time of prayer, it's always good to kind of sit still and hear from the Lord. A lot of times our prayers are always one-sided. We kind of, you know, hurry up, rattle off a bunch of requests or maybe some requests on, you know, prayer for other people, ourselves, and or things that matter to us, right? And not to say that those things should not be included in your prayers, because of the simple fact that God tells us in His Word to go ahead, tells us in His Word to actually, you know, make our requests made known to Him. So, you know, I said all that just to, before we get into today's devotional. It's one of the spiritual habits in this devotional series that I've been reading. So let's get into this and we'll talk about it a little bit as we go. It says, imagine you're standing on a hill by yourself. A stream trickles beside you while birds chirping happily above you. The sun beats down on your face while a gentle breeze blows by. Everything looks calm and quiet, but your mind is racing through a list of tasks you've left undone, problems you can't solve, and brokenness you can't fix. Although you're in a tranquil place, the sound of your own thoughts is keeping you from enjoying what's happening around you. What would it take for you to pause, silence the noise, and be still? Through stillness, we learn to pay attention to what God is doing in us and around us. But stillness is both active and passive. It involves allowing God to refocus our vision and tune our ears to His voice while we give Him the noise inside us. It requires surrendering our worries, concerns, and problems to God while allowing Him to refocus our hearts on Him. As we practice this spiritual habit, we become more equipped to give God glory for His power at work in our lives because we start to notice what God has already been doing in our lives. So here's an action step. It says, get away for a few hours this week and practice giving God whatever concerns come to mind. It's okay if you have to do this repeatedly for a while. Just use this time to silence the noise inside you and get into the habit of making space to hear God's voice. So what do you guys think about that? I think that's a really good habit that we should have. A lot of times I'll speak for myself. A lot of times I'm in a rush, sometimes trying to, you know, get ready for work or while I'm at work, thinking of the things that I have to do for the day and, you know, not giving God enough time to really make that prayer time a really good quality of time. So it's not so much, you know, let me get my prayer in. Let me, you know, try to get my request in, or maybe just, you know, hurry up and pray. Allow, you know, myself to, you know, basically being a task or, you know, a check mark off your list of things to do. You know, I put it this way, you know, praying to the Lord should not be a task or not even a spiritual task or not even something to where you're thinking, okay, well, I've done my prayer for the day. You know, that's kind of like still putting Him in a space in our devotional or our relationship with Him as not even personable. And that's not what God wants. God wants to be personal. And this is why, you know, not just for the sake of, you know, Him sending His Son to die for our sins for salvation purposes, but He truly does want a true intimate relationship with you, to where He knows you or you know Him personally. You know, First of all, we gotta stop thinking of God as somebody that we know, you know, like physically, like our, like your friend or what have you. And the reason why I say that, because we gotta also have a reverence and a respect for him as the fact that he is the creator of all the, creator of the universe, creator of the world, creator of all human life. And who better to go and spend some quality time, some quiet time, some peaceful time with the God who has created all things, who is so massive in that degree. Think about it this way. And I know it's kind of, I shouldn't use this example, but for the sake of us trying to understand God in this way, like how many times some of us, you know, have the opportunity to go to the, I don't know, the CEO of your company or the head manager that you hardly ever see of the company you work for. You don't get a chance to just see him or walk, you know, be common to him or her. So that's the same thing it is with God. You know, with him, it's more like, okay, so we have to, you know, treat him with a lot more respect and a lot more honor. We cannot just rush through our prayer times and rush through, you know, a request and say, God, I need you to pray. I need to lift this up to you and this, that, and the other, and a list of things. And so then we're on the way to our own business and not even thinking about anything else. And I know there's times that we do that. I admit it, that there's times where I've even done it because I'm in a rush and your mind is not focused on him. Your mind is actually prayer and you're on other things. And this is what this devotion is talking about. And the purpose of having that stillness time or that really quality time that we have is to allow, like it says, it involves allowing God to refocus our vision and tune our ears to his voice. You know, a lot of times God is always speaking to us and we are so busy and we're busy with things that we do every day, you know. And so a lot of times, you know, we're totally missing God, missing what God is trying to say or communicate to us. A lot of times, if we just take the time to just sit back and talk to him, pray to him, but then just sit in silence and be still, like the devotional is saying, be still, allow him to minister to your heart. You'll never know. If you hurry up and rush through your prayers, you never know what God is really trying to tell you. And maybe God is going to speak to you in that moment of your prayer time. I think that some of the most intimate and wonderful revelations that I've had about God has been in times where I've taken the time to really sit still and listen for him. You know, God is, I know it's different because we're so much on a timetable and God is in eternity and he has all the time in the world. But honestly, I think that this is something that we have to really understand to keep ourselves calm. So listen to this. There's a verse out of Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, and it simply says, "The Lord himself will fight for you. So just stay calm." You know, a lot of our problems and a lot of issues, our anxieties and everything else will come if we'll just stay calm and not, you know, have to worry about stuff. And I think that the Lord, he's always, you know, telling us throughout the Bible, actually, to allow him to trust him in the midst of our situations, our problems. We see, you know, a lot of stories about people in the Bible that they have been through military wars, they've been through different fights, different situations, and the Lord has been with them. And you see great miracles throughout the Old Testament of how God was with people like Moses, like Abraham, like his sons Isaac and Jacob, and down throughout the Bible, you know, the prophets as well. And you begin to see how God has been with them through adversity. Even, you know, when you read the book of Job, you know how Job had lost everything, but yet in the midst of that, God was still with him. So a lot of times we have to remember that Now, the next verse I want to read is out of the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 7. It simply says this: be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. So this, again, is just another example of what, you know, in the Psalm of David, where it's talking about be still in the presence of the Lord. You know, and you notice it says be still in the presence of the Lord. And I think I like that, because it's not saying that you're absent or the Lord is absent from you. You're actually in the presence of the Lord. And it says wait patiently for him to act. A lot of us are not patient. A lot of us are, we want it to happen now. We need an answer now. We need God to react immediately. And so we're not patient, you know. And I'm not, and again, this is not a way to say God is always slow or we have to always wait patiently. But there's going to be times, and I'm sure you have already experienced times in your life, like in my life, I've had to wait on God. And to be honest with you, there's times where I wasn't as patient as I should have been. But the second half of this verse says, don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. This is a real situation in the world we live in. We live in a world that not everybody's godly, not everybody's perfect, not everybody operates in righteousness. There's some evil people in this world. There's some wicked people in this world. And we have to understand that, you know, a lot of times we think, well, how in the world is this person seemingly to be blessed, or seemingly to get, you know, the wonderful things that God seems to be blessing them with? But, you know, a lot of times I'll say this, just because just when we see like a person is evil, or a person doesn't seem to be, I don't know, they just seem to, their actions don't line up with the things that they're getting, but we're suffering. A lot of times, you know, we have to remember that God sees the same thing we see, and God is ultimately the judge, and he will deal with those things, you know. And so a lot of times, you know, we think, well, they're getting away with so much. God, how come you see this and you're not doing anything about it? Well, for one, he's God and we're not. Number two, though, his plans are higher than our plans. And the way he reacts is not the way we will react. His vantage point is eternal. That means he can see long range. He can see years before we can. So a lot of times we want things to happen in the time period that we're staying in, and we see things happening in that horizontal range, because we see it right in front of us. Do you understand? Always understand, though, that God ultimately sees way past what we can see, and he's already either condemned or he's already judged that person, even though they seem to be extremely wicked or seem to be prospering beyond what we can understand. Okay, a lot of times we see that and we think that's so unfair, but I'll tell you what, God sees the same thing, and he doesn't want us to react, and he wants us to be patient. He wants us to be still. Okay, going back to what it said in the first part of this verse, he wants us to be still in the presence of the Lord. And that doesn't always mean our minds and our focus should be on evil people. So understand that God sees the same thing you see. Remember, he's God, so there's nothing ever hidden from him. So understand that. He says, don't worry. Don't fret. Don't fret about their wicked schemes. In other words, you're watching, or you're seeing, and you're aware of the same thing. But God says, what you do about it is not what I'm going to do about it. So at the end of the day, let us still just trust God. Trust him. Trust in his way of doing things. It's not in our way. So understand that. Understand that through him, he is ultimately in control no matter what. So again, that's our devotional for today. Thank you for sticking through this one. This is an awesome devotional. Please go check out the YouVersion Bible app of this devotional entitled Make Space for What Matters, and under the Spiritual Habits of Stillness. All right, thank you again, and let's get back into God's Word today. All right, so welcome back. So let's continue on here in Romans chapter 13. And we kind of got into it a little bit on starting at verse 8. Again, I'm just going to reread this real quick. And it's called Love Fulfills God's Requirements. It says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Verse 9 says, for the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commands are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10 says, love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Okay, so the part that I really think we're going to focus in on is where he changes the direction of what he's talking about. It's still under fulfilling God's love, fulfilling God's requirements, but he's now talking about, in verse 11, he says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. Now, verse 12 says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Okay, let's continue on here. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. And that's the end of Romans chapter 13. So as we come to a close on this, this is a very interesting chapter, dealing with the authority, submitting and respecting authority, along with love being God's requirement. So let's talk about this though a little bit. Let's talk about his urgent plea. Starting at verse 11, he says that time is running out. Okay, he said he uses this. There's a few things that I feel like, man, like it's really, you could sense the urgency, but you could sense the warning that Paul is saying here. He's saying in the second part of verse 11, he says, wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I want to say this right quick. I've always said, like we've read this in the Bible as well, in different parts, whether it's in Romans, whether it's in the book of Matthew, where Jesus talks about the end times. We also read a little bit about it in the book of, I think it's 1 or 2 Thessalonians, where they talk about the end times as well, the rapture of the church, perhaps, and more so in the book of Revelations. We have to remember that, there's coming a time where everything that we live for now, everything that we have talking about, whether it's about the Bible and anything else, that time is coming to an end. We know that. And then when I say the end, let me just clarify. It is the end of the existence of what we now have right here. This world, as we see evil advancing all around us. We have to understand that eventually God is going to, in my opinion, in my way of thinking, he's going to reset everything. We see it in the time of Noah. We see in the time that, Noah, in that time, God created a flood and flooded the entire earth of all human existence except for Noah and his family. So we have to understand that the evil that happened in Noah's days is happening now. And so this is why the church, in one sense, is almost like it's like the ark, and Noah was the preacher of his day. So is the church. So what's happening here, and what Paul is talking about, he's actually urging us to get it right, to do what's right now. And like he says that the night, in verse 12, he says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. That doesn't mean that salvation has already been required. It has already been not been given. Salvation now is given. Okay, when Christ died on the cross, that was it. That was done. Now, to me, that sets the clock from that time all the way to where we're living at now. We have to make sure that we're living right. We're not playing church. We're not playing Christianity. We're not playing like we're a Christian. We're not pretending to be a Christian. We need to be for real. We need to be advancing the kingdom of God. We need to be spreading the love of God. We need to be talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot afford to be swept away in the culture that we see around us, the things that is being done, the things that we know is immoral. We know that God is not pleased with doing with us doing. We need to stop. Okay. And I'm talking directly to some of us that know better, some of us that are mature in the Lord, mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, and know we shouldn't be doing those things, not participating in immoral behavior, not participating in sexual promiscuity, like it says, in quarreling and jealousy and all that. It says instead in verse 14, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Listen, like I said before, in this year of 2024 and beyond, we should be pursuing God more than ever before. Not just because we're fearful of, say, going to hell. We should be fearful of standing before God and disappointing him. We should be living our lives in such a way that we're pleasing to God. There's a difference. There's a difference when you want to please God, but yet you kind of make some mistakes here and there. But again, these are not mistakes that you make intentionally. These are things that you know that you shouldn't have did. Okay, you fell into, you said something you shouldn't have said. Apologize for it. Make it right. The same thing. If you know you did something wrong, then go make it right. And, you know, we talked about earlier in this chapter about owe nothing to anyone. OK, if you owe somebody something, then go repay it back. It's the same thing. He gives the instructions in, I think, the book of Corinthians about taking communion. And if you owe someone something, make it right. Don't just go and take communion knowing that you have unfulfilled debt, or you need to make amends with your brother or your sister that you've offended. And you should never go to the altar with an offering or go and give an offering and thinking that God's going to bless you. Or sometimes a lot of us are praying knowing that we have unfinished business. Okay. We haven't made it right with our brother, with our sister, with our parent, with our child. We haven't made it right, but yet you want to hold your hands up and ask God, you know, give praises to the Lord. Your hands are dirty. So we have to get to a place where are cleansing ourselves. And if that might be something that you want to do for the rest of this year, so be it. Make sure that whatever it is, you make it right, whether it is for the rest of this year, do that. But honor God. Honor God with a clean life, with a clean slate. And if that means making that hard decision, having that hard conversation, do that. Do that so that you can have a clear conscience, so that you can continue on and you can pursue the Lord, and God can continue to work on you and work on you more and more. Amen. But understand that this urgency from Paul, what he's saying, he said, this is all the more urgent. Okay. Like he said, so remove the dark deeds like dirty clothes. This is second half of verse 12, Romans 13, verse 12. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right. Sorry about that. I just got cut off by my my timer. But I just want to kind of end this. And again, as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in to this episode here. And again, as always, like it says here, we should be pursuing God and pursuing him with all our heart, or our mind, and well our soul. And so again, read. Romans chapter 13, pray about it, ask the Lord to reveal to you different things that he reveals to you in this chapter, and ask the Lord to just continue to direct you by his Holy Spirit, and so that you can become a better testimony, a better representative of the kingdom of God. And as Paul says, we don't have a lot of time. I know that during that time, my grandmother, when she was living years ago, she used to always say Jesus is coming back soon, and she meant it. And now she's with the Lord. She's now with the Lord. My mother and father also is with the Lord, and so as many saints that I grew up under, and they're all with the Lord now. And so me and a few others that in our family are left, and we're still fulfilling the calling and preaching God's word and sharing God's word. So listen, I share this with you all. Please make your life count right now. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Don't wait till the last minute to try to get your life right with the Lord. Make sure that you get your life right now. Okay, this is a very sobering warning from Paul in the book of Romans. And I hope that those of you that listen and hear me, that understand that I too fall under the same thing. I too have to make sure that my life is right, and that I'm ready to meet the Lord when he comes. And you know, we never know when the Lord is coming, but we also never know when we might go to the Lord. So it could be either way, either one day you'll be gone. People, you know, pass away at many different ages for whatever reasons. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to have a disease. You don't have to have an illness. You can just not wake up the next day. And before you know it, you're right there in the presence of God, of the God of all eternity. And you don't want to stand before him with things that are undone, or things that you probably should have done, or your life not fully committed to the Lord. Please get your life right with God while there is still time, while you have time, while you have breath in your body. Don't wait. Don't straddle the fence. Don't be a lukewarm Christian, living it for the world and living for God. You know who you are. You know whether or not you need to get it right. It's just better while you're still living to get it right with the Lord right now. I'm not going to have a closing prayer this time. I feel like if this is what you need to do, then by all means, you should do that. You should pray, ask the Lord for forgiveness. And if you're not saved, get saved. Pray and ask the Lord to accept you, or you accept the Lord in your heart and your mind, so that you can continue on and live according to what he desires you to live. Okay. All right. God bless you. I'll be talking to you soon.